Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by Witchschool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
Thank you for tuning in to Walking the Unnamed Path. This is Matthew Sidney, an initiate of the Unnamed Path. The Unnamed Path, for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, is a formal tradition of spiritual study. It was developed by the late Hyperion, who received these teachings when in shamanic contact with the ancestors of men who love men. And the ancestors have delivered these teachings, and they incorporate a four-part path. These are magic and prophecy, energy healing, shamanic contact, and death walking. And in honor of his legacy, and in order to share some of what we do with you, Michael Graywolf and I produce this podcast series, and we're very happy that you are able to join us. If you would like to participate in the conversation, you may call in live at 347-308-8222. Today's guest is Craig Blackwelder, an organizer of GSV, Gay Spirit Visions, and the convener of the GSV Fall Conference that just happened recently over this autumn equinox. Let's bring Craig on the air and learn a little bit more about what he's been up to. Craig, how are you doing?
Hey, life is beautiful here in Chicago. It's an amazing thundery day.
I love thunder.
Likewise,
my favorite sport.
This is my yep, exactly.
So, Craig, let's start off. Tell us a little bit about you. So, you're based in the Chicago area. Tell us a little bit about your spiritual path and how you got connected with GSV.
My spiritual journey, I would say, started in earnest when I was in either late junior high or early high school. I felt absolutely no resonance with Christianity ever. Like, it just, I never could understand it as a path. But in junior high, I think, I ran across a book called Witches by Erica Jong. And it was
the first...
I remember
that book.
It's an amazing book. It had great pictures, and it was the first thing that really explained Wicca or witchcraft to me in those terms, as far as revering nature and revering the cycles of the world and the stuff that Wicca is so good at. And I was enthralled, and it's like, oh, now this all of a sudden makes sense. And I was an ardent and eager Wiccan from that moment. So I read that book. In fact, just a few years ago, I thought, I really want to look at that book again. So I picked up a copy on eBay, and it's a little cheesier than I remember it, but it just holds such a valued place in my history that I had to have a copy. Later on, I moved more into the reclaiming tradition. I found Starhawk's writings to be really interesting and right on. Her book, Walking the Earth Path, is the perfect bridge between sort of a spiritual path and living in the real world, right? The physical, nitty-gritty, concrete world. And she has fantastic ideas on how to blend those two. These days, over the course of the last 10 years, I guess, I would say my spiritual path has, I've sort of blended Wicca and Taoism. That may sound like a strange
mix. Oh, I like
mix,
that.
It's Western and Eastern, but they work together really well. I mean, if you want to talk about the male principle and the female principle, you have the god and the goddess, but you also have yang and yin. So, I mean, in my personal experience, I think those two paths connect really beautifully. And I think Taoism gives Wicca even more depth than it had before.
Well, I think you and I have a lot in common because the Tao Te Ching is my favorite spiritual scripture. And
likewise,
the Yi Jing and the Yi Jing is my go-to divination tool. And something in me has always resonated with the Taoist point of view. So for me, I totally get where you're coming from.
Well, heck, I wish you lived closer so we could get our mojo on up here in Chicago.
Well, you never know what the fates may bring.
This is true.
So I wanted to hear from you. I've talked about it on this podcast before, but it's all very new to me, and I really don't think I was able to do it justice. Tell our listeners, what is Gay Spirit Visions?
Gay Spirit Visions is an outgrowth or an evolution of the Radical Fairies. In the late 80s, there was a Radical Fairy sanctuary down just outside of Atlanta called Running Water. And the Radical Fairies there had a marvelous time and marvelous experience, and they had the sort of festive gatherings that Radical Fairies were known for back in the day. But over the course of time, mainstream civilization, the default world sort of impinged on that and started building up all around Running Water, and it just wasn't a feasible option anymore. So a lot of the folks who were members of that Radical Fairy Sanctuary were looking for other options. And there was one man in particular, his name was Raven Wolf Dancer, and he said, no, let's do a regular ongoing meeting, an annual conference that looks at queer spirituality. And so he and some of the other Radical Fairies from that time decided to do something that was a little bit less, I often refer to them as the not-so-radical fairies, because they sort of have this hybrid feeling between the radical fairies and something a little more mainstream. They're not quite as focused on, you know, the hardcore consensus that the fairies were using at the time. But they still have a lot of that magic, a lot of that whimsy, a lot of that sense of wonder in what they do. And so, boom, they decided we're going to do this thing called Gay Spirit Visions. And then they went around and they started looking for places that would host them. And place after place after place after place said, yes, we'd love to have your event on our retreat space. What kind of group are you? And then the GSV guy said, oh, we're a gay spirituality group. And all of a sudden the place would say, oh, I'm sorry, look at that. We do seem to be booked for the next 12 years. Our bad. And then without any sort of explanation or anything, they would say no. Finally, the GSV folks found a retreat space that was owned by Unitarians. And they went there, and the woman who was in charge said, you know, welcome home. We're glad you found us. And that
nice.
That's where we've had our GSV events ever since. And it's a beautiful place called the Mountain Retreat Center up in the mountains of North Carolina. And I love that space. It is one of the most beautiful retreat spaces I've ever been to.
It is amazing. I was there, of course, for the very first time over this equinox, and definitely conscious of the power. And I was also aware of the bubble. There is like an energetic bubble around.
There
it.
Absolutely
it was kind
is.
Of interesting. Yeah, it was interesting. As I was driving up, I hit this tremendous, terrifying, torrential thunderstorm, and the forecast, of course, for the weekend was supposed to be rain all weekend. And I'm passing through the storm, and I'm thinking to myself, oh man, this is what it's going to be like all weekend. Then as I'm climbing up and I get really close to the property, then all of a sudden the clouds lift and not a single gurgle of thunder to be heard, and it was beautiful weather all weekend. It was kind of interesting. It was almost like crossing over that formidable circle of protection. It was intense.
There were several of us who were also working a bit of weather magic to dispense with that rain. I'm usually the fire keeper. I do the opening fire ritual for the conferences, well, the spring and the fall conference. And since I was convening this time, I delegated that one to my partner, Scotty. And he and Lord Peregrine, who did the Wiccan ritual at the weekend, and Julia, who is on staff there, we were all doing our respective mojo to push those storms away so that we didn't have to worry about rain on the ceremonial fire.
Yeah, well, you guys did a good job. So,
thank you.
Gay Spirit Visions, I understand it happens 3 times a year. Tell us about the 3 events and how they're similar and how they're different from one another.
The biggest event that Gay Spirit Visions does is the fall conference, and that usually happens around the 3rd or 4th week of September. And that's, I would call that the flagship event that GSV does. For many years, it was the only thing up until the late 90s. So for like the first 9 or 10 years of its existence, it was just a fall conference, and that's what they did. But then they had a lot of people at the fall conference, and people said, we want more of this delicious magic that, you know, our community is creating. So they created the Spring Retreat. And the Spring Retreat is a little bit smaller. It usually happens, we just did our planning for the next 3 years. It's going to be in early to mid-May for the next few years. It tends to be a little bit smaller, a little bit less structured, but also magical. And then the smallest of the 3 events that GSV does is the Winter Meditation. And there are usually, I'll estimate 30 to 50 men show up to that one. And it tends to be, like the first couple, I remember there was no talking. They were, I mean, when they called it a winter meditation, they were very serious about that. You would go up and it was supposed to be a sort of fellowship, but quiet fellowship that was done in silence. And
wow.
After a couple of years, that was not as popular. So they relaxed that a little bit, and now the winter is it's very quiet. There's the weather up there in the winter is very somber, I will say. So it's each of the 3 has its own mood and its own weather portfolio, I would say.
And how did you first discover and get involved with GSV?
I was living in Atlanta. I was working for a game company called White Wolf Games, and I had just done the Body Electric. And for those who don't know, Body Electric is an erotic massage, Taoist thing that's about building energy and that sort of thing. And I had just gone through a really ugly breakup with this nutty dude, and I needed something that was sort of a well, Body Electric helped me sort of cough up an emotional hairball. I'll just leave it at that. But while I was doing Body Electric, I had a number of people, I heard a number of people around the periphery, blah, 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 GSV, Gates Fear Visions, GSV. So I asked people what that was, and they said, oh, Craig, I think you'd really like it. It's a gathering for, you know, spiritually focused men who love men. I thought, oh, that's right up my alley. So I went and I absolutely loved it. I met some amazing people, some dear people, some amazing, sweet human beings, and a couple of really amazing mentors. So for that, I was really active with GSV for the next couple of years while I was still in Atlanta. And right before I left Atlanta, it was right after a fall conference, and the presiding elder at the time, Tree Walker, he was the convener of that fall conference, and he was the presiding elder of GSV at that time. He said, you know, before you leave Atlanta, I would like to do a ritual to sort of an investiture ritual to invest you with the power to start a branch of GSV wherever you land. And there were five of us there. The four gentlemen who did the investiture ritual were Tree Walker, who was a wonderful old trickster, I would say. And then King Thaxton, who, well, King Thaxton is the real trickster. You cannot get more trickster energy than that man. He was a fantastic artist and a wily old sorcerer. And Andrew Raymer, who is sort of the spiritual guide for GSV. And he attended like the first 20 GSV fall conferences. And a gentleman named Brad Pitts, who has since moved to England. And they just did a – it was a beautiful ritual, actually. And they gave me like a little stone egg and put a cloth over my head and shoulders, and it was really lovely. And I thought, I'm never going to need this, because I'm sure any city in the United States is going to have something for spiritually aware gay men. Well, I was not right about that. So, initially from moving from Atlanta, I moved to San Diego. San Diego was not a good fit, so I moved back to Chicago. And I was briefly active with a local group that was for gay pagan men, but its founder was a little too controlling, and it was not a great fit. And after being on the board for 2-3 years and not being able to have any say in the evolution of that group, I thought, okay, never mind, this is not for me, and I want GSV. So I created GSV Chicago in 2010, maybe 2011. I think it was 2011, okay. Now that I think about it. And boom, so I created the magic that I sought here in Chicago, and we've been having our monthly potlucks ever since then.
Nice. You mentioned Andrew Raymer, and you and I have talked about it. We've chatted a little in the green room. Of course, any of our listeners who is an initiate of the Unnamed Path or who is a follower of Hyperion's series of podcasts is aware of this. But some of our listeners may not be aware of this. Andrew Raymer is a very seminal figure within our tradition. My understanding is that reading Two Flutes Playing inspired Hyperion to seek out these ancestors of men who love men, uh-huh, that Andrew Raymer was talking about and channeling in Two Flutes Playing. And he and a couple other people who were working with him made contact, started sharing notes, and then the ancestors said, listen, there's an entire system that we're going to give to you, and you are charged with teaching it to the community. And therefore, Hyperion began his series of podcasts to share these teachings, and then an initiatory element was added, and that was how the Unnamed Path tradition came into being. Two Flutes Playing is required reading for anyone who seeks initiation in the Unnamed Path. And so every single one of us who are initiated brothers are steeped in that material. And for me, I knew nothing about Andrew Raymer's connection with GSV. I knew nothing about GSV when I went. I first heard about it from you out of the blue. You told me about it and said, gee, I think you'd get a lot out of it. I was recovering from Hurricane Irma, and I thought, you know, I need to get the heck out of here. And I was just blown away by all these connections, and to hear some of the language and some of the traditions that are a part of GSV, this 28-year-old tradition, were so similar to me, because a lot of these same themes have percolated into the Unnamed Path. So it was really fascinating connection on that level. Is there anything that you can tell us about Andrew Raymer that you think some of our listeners might be interested to know?
What
about your experiences with him?
He was, I don't know how to describe his role with GSV. I guess spiritual advisor is probably as close as I'm going to be able to get, I think. Because he had this calm, quiet, zen energy. He just has this perpetual aura of calmness about him. And he attended the first 20 GSV fall conferences. After 20, I think maybe he thought he had done his duty and things moved on as they do. But there are still people, like in the feedback that we get about the conferences, there are still people who say, oh, please bring back Andrew Raymer. And it's not necessarily something that we can just say, hey, Andrew, be there now. And
right.
I think he's orbiting in different circles at this point. But for 20 years, he was the spiritual anchor for GSV, and he was sort of the counterbalance to some of the wilder, silly, whimsical fairy energy that GSV is gifted with. And I would say there are actually two books that really inform GSV. One of those, obviously, is Two Flutes Playing. Another one written by a man who was a longtime GSV member is a book called Gay Spirit Warrior. Spirit Warrior is a great second piece to Two Flutes Playing. It's a completely different perspective, but it talks about gay men and the archetypes that they channel. And it's a lovely counterpoint or addition to Two Flutes Playing. And John Stowe was an amazing man. He made these magical plant essences. I still have a little of his, one of his flower essences, and it smells so good. And I only have one tiny bottle of it, so I use it very sparingly. But if I'm doing any sort of ritual work that requires anointing, and it's specifically for gay spiritual work, I will use that as an anointing oil.
So one thing that I really appreciated at the fall conference was the wraparound theme, the way you started off talking about the thorns and the brambles and the way that theme continued to unfold throughout the weekend. Do you mind sharing with our listeners a little bit about that theme and how that came about?
Not in the least. I had been wanting to convene GSV Fall Conference for years. It was sort of something I felt called to do. It was something I felt spiritually required to do, to follow in my mentor's feet. There's a great old quote by Nietzsche, of all people. It says, "One repays a teacher poorly if one remains always a student." And I felt that I had learned enough over the course of years that I was ready to step into doing some of the work that my mentors had been doing when I first got active with GSV. So they said, "Would you like to convene?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Do you know what you'd like to do?" And immediately, I mean, there wasn't even a hesitation. I said, "Yes, I want to do something about outsider status or outsider experience." And it took me maybe a day to come up with Pariah Magic, Gift of the Outsider, because I feel very strongly that we, any of us who are outsiders, whether it's gay men, bi men, men of color, HIV positive folks, you know, this outsider experience that we're living has lessons and has power, and we often think of it as being burdensome, but it's a burden that gives gifts. Not unlike, if you want to compare it to, you know, to get the wisdom of the well Mimir, Odin had to give up his eye, or to become a god, Jesus had to, you know, accept his fate as, you know, crucifixion. So there's a long spiritual tradition of gifts that have a heavy price tag, and I think that being gay is one of those things. It's like we may think of it as just being a burden or a pain, and it's unfair what we have to go through and the alienation and stuff we have to go through for no other reason than who we love and who we're attracted to, right? But what we sometimes overlook is that this outsider status that we have pushed on us has amazing gifts. And we may think about what a pain it is, but we don't even really acknowledge the amazing gifts we get, the gift of empathy. I mean, being an outsider makes you much more empathic and much more tuned in to other folks who are also, you know, underdogs in life. And there's a magic to this. As I said at the fall conference, being an outsider is a spiritual calling. If you are born into a world in which you do not fit, the purpose of that is, or your calling then becomes to create or to transform the world into a place where you and people like you do fit. That is the outsider's spiritual calling. And the way that you get there is I mapped out a life course for the outsider. And I modeled that on the stages of the brambles. The brambles were the primary overarching visual theme for the weekend. We start off as outsiders in thorns, and that's where being an outsider is just painful and pleasant and ugly, and it hurts to be an outsider. It hurts when, you know, you hear some idiot use the word faggot. It hurts when you have people look at you funny just because you're holding your partner's hand while walking down the street. It hurts to know that there are certain places you probably shouldn't go at night because, you know, homophobes might be there. And that's the ugly part of the cycle. The next part of the cycle is leaf. At the leaf stage, that's where you do the necessary work to grow and to develop insight and develop resources that will help you grow out of that, the painful stage of the thorn. After the stage of the leaf, you have the flowering stage. The flowering stage is the outsider's first taste of connection. The flower is all about connection. It's about sharing pollen, taking in pollen, connecting with others. It could be the March on Washington. It could be a gay dance. It could be a gay pride march. Any of those things that help you develop fellowship with fellow outsiders, that is all the flowering stage. And that's where you find the allies and the ideas and the ideals that guide you and that you will use to navigate from there on out. And then the next stage is fruit. Fruit is the stage where you sort of reach your potential, and you're able to do that in a way that lets you mentor others and lets you share your ideas and the gifts that you have received from your outsider status so that you can help others, nurture others, and help others get past the stage where being an outsider just feels like torment. And yay for being able to give our gifts to others. And a term that I use for that, someone who has reached what Abraham Maslow called self-actualization, which is where you're living in the positive side of life, right? You're like making the most of your gifts and you're actually doing dynamic things in your life. And it's the realm of positive psychology as opposed to psychology that's just there to try and minimize pathological conditions. It's using psychology to have a better, more powerful, more empowering life. Those folks are what I refer to as the alien elite. And those people are trailblazers. I would consider people like RuPaul, for example, to be a member of the alien elite. He's lived his life with integrity. He has been who he is. He has not backed down. He has not tried to hide his light under a bushel. And now here he is being a cultural trend maker and, you know, shaping our culture that we live in because he decided to foster his gifts and live them and share them with others.
Wow. Well, we have a caller. Let's bring our caller on. You are live on Walking the Unnamed Path. Whom do we have the pleasure of speaking with? And I do apologize, I can't hear you. You're cutting out. But that's okay. I think we're going to take a little music break and resolve some of our technical difficulties, and we'll be right back in about 4 minutes.
Hey.
That was Rain Chant by Amikayla and Ariana. And I am taking this moment to pray that the thunder bring and share a little bit of rain with California. There's a lot of fire out there right now, and maybe we can balance this out a little bit. You are, of course, listening to Walking the Unnamed Path. If you have tuned in live, you can join the conversation. Call us at 347-308-8222. If you're not listening live and you're listening to the archive, then please note that Walking the Unnamed Path happens every second and fourth Saturday of the month at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. So mark your calendars. We love it when you guys call in and ask us unexpected questions. And today, of course, we are chatting with Craig Blackwelder about gay spirit visions. And Craig, please indulge me, I'm going to share something that you shared at the opening of the fall conference. This is from the book of Isaiah. And alas, I don't think it's from the same translation that you are working from, but it is a delicious quote nevertheless. Isaiah chapter 34, starting at verse 13, "And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and it shall be a habitation of dragons and a court owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The Lilith also shall rest there and find for herself a place to rest. There the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate." So, of course, you were operating from a different translation. I could not find it. This I kind of just pulled out of the rabbit hat. But you did a great job of setting the scene, because when you opened things, I felt like, oh, I get it. There's a real theme here, and you're tying in powerful, potent symbolism that pertains to our place as pariahs and outsiders in this dysfunctional society. And I have to say, the entire weekend, at least for me, was very transformative. It triggered a lot of necessary healing, shamanic work, a lot of inner cathartic stuff happened. Of course, I had a lot of fun. I met amazing people, a lot of laughter, made new friends. But that's just on the outside. On the inside, there was so much alchemy, and shadows were confronted, and tears were shed. And I got to thank you, because that was some damn good medicine.
Good. I am delighted to hear that. And I have to say, the piece that you channeled for the talent show was absolutely powerful and amazing and delightful, and it was one of the high points of a weekend made up of many, many high points for me. So thank you for bringing your gifts. That was amazing.
So thank you. I'm glad it was well received. The spirits were telling me, you know, this is what you're going to do. And I'm thinking, I brought my guitar. I was going to just sing a song at the talent show. And the spirits pulled me aside, and they said, no, you're going to do this other thing. And I just said, okay, I'm not going to argue, but we'll see how it goes.
I am so glad you listened, because your piece was powerful. It was amazing.
Thank you. I hope to share that again, possibly at the next Stone and Stang. I'm going to indulge in a little shameless self-promotion here. For those of our listeners who don't know, the Brothers of the Unnamed Path organize a weekend of spiritual activity for men who love men called Stone and Stang. And the first Stone and Stang was started by Hyperion. And it's still new. And the first Stone and Stang I went to was the third one. And Stone and Stang is happening every 2 years on the West Coast. Although that could change, but up until now it's been on the West Coast. And I had the privilege of attending the third Stone and Stang. And being so new and so small, it was on a much smaller scale than GSC. It was powerful and beautiful, also very intimate. And we are working on organizing the 2018 Stone and Stang. It will most likely be in October of 2018. And Craig, I got to say, attending GSV inspired me as far as, oh, wow, this is what's possible. This can be done. This situation can be handled that way. So it was, in a way, I felt like an apprentice soaking up all this information, because you guys have been at this for 28 years. And so it was an incredible opportunity for me to learn and to take back tools and techniques to some unnamed path folks who are involved in Stone and Stang and share these strategies with them.
Good. That's what I would want most, is for queer men on a spiritual path to share this amazing set of skills and resources. And personally, I tend to think that we are predisposed to being spiritual and cultural leaders. So the more some tools and tricks that we can share among ourselves to strengthen our tribe, the better, especially now.
So is there anything you can share with us about the upcoming winter and spring events?
What can you tell us? The little bit that I know about the winter meditation is that it's going to be about how to live with darkness, how to incorporate darkness, mm-hmm. how to acknowledge darkness without being eaten by it, how to incorporate it in a healthy way, because you know there's no escaping darkness in our lives, right? It's like
right.
Into every life a little rain must fall, so we may as well learn how to irrigate with that rain. And it's being done by a lovely man named Andy, who I just adore. He's an amazing, sweet man. And he and I have talked a little bit about what he's doing, but I don't know the specifics just yet, but that's the general theme. And as for spring, I do not know the specifics of spring yet. I'll probably know more. I have a face-to-face council meeting with the rest of the GSV council down in North Carolina next weekend, in fact, and I'll probably know more then.
Where can people go to learn more if someone's interested in, let's say, in attending the winter meditation? Where do they go to sign up?
GSV has a great, very simple website that gives basic updates as to what the next big event is going to be. And folks can find that at gayspiritv, visions.org. So very simple. I'll say that one more time in case people are writing down all the things. GaySpiritVisions.org. And that'll always give whatever the latest information is on event dates and theme and that sort of thing. It hasn't been adjusted yet, so if folks want to get a sense of what's on there for the fall conference, they can take a look there and get a sense of what that looked like before it happened.
Right.
And then
right.
Probably in about, probably sometime around November, December, they'll update it so that there'll be information on the winter retreat.
Okay. Now, one of the things that impressed me the most was the sheer number of people. There were, the number I heard was 99. There were 99 guys at the mountain at this event, and the workshops were phenomenal, and there were multiple workshops going on at the same time, so it wasn't even possible to go to every single one. And I always like the magical and also tradition. I maybe because I have a little bit of psychometry, I feel that material things anchor energy and connect us with those who've walked here before us. And one ritual that was really powerful for me was the talking stick. And it's brought out in this beautiful, beautiful sacred chest, and this beautiful talisman comes out. What can you tell us about that sacred object?
The heart circle is one of those things that GSV inherited from the radical fairies. And it's, in the radical fairy tradition, it's something that lets people share what's on their heart. At GSV, since the numbers that we have at our events are much larger than could be supported by the amount of time we have, we pass it, and it's a way of just giving the most brief, nuanced sense of where you're at that moment. And we do an opening and closing heart circle. The talking stick has been, it was created for GSV many years ago. They didn't have it at the very first fall conference, but shortly thereafter they had it, and it has been refurbished by a couple of the artisans who have been part of GSV over the years. And it's beautiful. It has rabbit fur and beads, and it's just a beautiful piece of work that has absorbed energy and been in the hands of thousands, literally thousands of men who have done this spiritual work. And it does have, when you hold it, it just has that sense of a relic, you know, something that has just absorbed spiritual energy. And it is treated in a way that I would say supports and increases its sanctity. The box that we keep it in, when I first went, like there was it had a container, but then that container got decorated, and then that container got blinged up a little bit more. And so now it's like a relic that is being, you know, brought out of its monstrance. A monstrance being the name of the thing that holds, like a relic in the Catholic tradition. And I would say the other sacred item there are a couple. Another one of them is there's an urn in which we keep ashes, and that urn holds ashes from every single one of GSV's fall conferences.
Wow.
Every time we every time we finish up a conference, we will put some of the ashes of the council fire in that urn. And also the ashes of several of our ancestors are in there. Two of my ancestors in particular have given some of their ashes and are in there. A couple years ago, it was my first year as the firekeeper, and the ashes of my mentor, Tree Walker, were scattered on the mountain. And it was my task as firekeeper to reclaim some of those ashes from where they had been scattered and put them in the urn. And I actually, as I was gathering them, a little splinter of bone pierced my finger and I was bleeding a little bit. And I thought, there's something very visceral and magical about sticking my finger on a bone shard of one of my mentors. It was sad, but it was beautiful, but it was poetic. And that was a really interesting moment.
Wow. That's powerful magic right there.
It really was. And then the third of the artifacts of GSV is the convener's staff, which back in the day belonged to, again, my mentor, Tree Walker, and he used it when he was convening and when he was the presiding elder, and he asked when he went to the spirit world that it be used as the staff for any convener of a GSV event, and so it is.
Wow. Wow. I love that. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that you reached out to me that day on Facebook and suggested that I come. I know I probably told that to you a dozen times already, but to have that experience, that connection with our heritage, that connection with the ancestors, I have no words.
It was a stretch, right? Like, we've been Facebook friends for a while, but we certainly didn't know each other well. So I was just taking a chance that, you know, based on what I'd seen you post on Facebook, it's like, this guy seems to really get it. He seems pretty sharp, and I thought he might benefit from GSV. So I just reached out and said, hey, you might like this. And I figured Florida isn't that far from North Carolina, so that made it a little more likely. And I was so, so delighted that you could make it. And then watching as, you know, the way that you participated and shared yourself and got those gifts, it was really wonderful. It was an absolute, it was a gift to me to see how well you took to the work that we do at GSV.
So we have a few minutes left, and I want to give you the chance. Is there anything that we may have missed that you want to share with our listeners, or any announcements or anything else that you want to touch on?
Let's see. For those who want to be, you know, get themselves involved in Gay Spirit Visions, there are two GSV branches that I know of. Kind of three now that I think about it. There's like the core where it began is in Atlanta, and I know Atlanta has monthly potlucks. There's also a branch of GSV in Asheville, North Carolina, which is where I'm going to be going next week for the council meeting. And there is Gay Spirit Vision Chicago, which I started, I guess, 6 years ago. We've now started our seventh year. So if it sounds like the sort of thing you'd be interested in, give that a shot. And I think the other thing that I wanted to mention is we have a great deal of history, and we've worked with a lot of the names in queer spirituality, including Harry Hay, who came and spoke at the very first Gay Spirit Visions Fall Conference back in 1990.
Wow.
So if you'd like to, you know, become a part of this amazing braid of lives of spirit ancestors and gay spirit magic and gay spirit visions, please join us. Add your magic to our own. We'd love to have you.
Craig, thank you for taking time to be on the show. This is an amazing conversation, and keep doing what you're doing, and we're definitely going to talk more.
Good. I look forward to it.
I'm going to play us out with some music. This is, and I think this is appropriate for the season, it's a piece called Jumping in the Leaves and Rolling Down the Hill by Brian Henke.
Listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.